Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three and sometimes four Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I am your host, Freddie Wong.
I am another host, Will Campos, a screenwriter.
I'm Matt Arnold, sometimes screenwriter, sometimes director, all the time father of my new baby, beautiful girl named Dorothy.
My name's Beth May, and I'm not really a Hollywood professional, semi-professional writer, amateur actor, semi-professional slam poet, and always the beloved mother of a beautiful cat named Teddy. my life, my wife. Just kidding, she's my cat.
Beth joins us today as we tackle our usual skullduggery.
Is this the third time?
No, this is number two.
Only number two?
Yeah. I like to think that my spirit, like, kind
oh,
of,
I thought
like,
we... Yeah. Oh, well, what we're going to have to do is, like, once you're on the fifth time, we'll give you a jacket, like SNL.
Okay, cool.
It felt like in my head, like, the Oscar voice when they're like, it's like, this is Beth's second time on Story Break, and her first time winning an Academy Award.
She's been nominated.
Only, she was nominated for the episode Tearjerker.
If only. It was that easy.
This is an awards qualifying podcast.
Oh, man. Yep.
Steven Spielberg is furious.
The pressure right here is really a lot.
What are we at this week?
So this week we're doing a bad movie. So we had this idea that this was your idea, right, Beth?
I think that's just a way to get me to explain it, but I was thinking of like random adjectives, and bad came up. It's a way to describe movies, but so we were thinking of putting bad in front of a random occupation in the vein of bad teacher, bad Santa, bad moms,
bad news bears.
Which
was, if I remember correctly, it was about a bunch of corrupt bear journalists.
Yeah, that's the one where the bear got caught for plagiarism, right?
Yeah, it was like shattered glass, but with a bear.
I was literally just thinking of Shattered Glass, the movie that nobody has seen. Nobody.
Two people have seen it.
Yeah,
I saw it.
Yeah, not
great
all
performance.
Not all the way.
I feel like
we all stopped halfway through.
Yeah.
I feel like Shattered Glass most often gets invoked when trying to explain why Hayden Christensen is a good actor,
yeah,
and the Attack of the Clones is not like a representation of his full potential.
If anybody can act with glasses that weird, like, I just remember his glasses being so bizarre and like not good in that movie. So I just have
to give
him,
I
just have to give him some props for that.
He's also good in Life as a House or whatever that is.
He was great as the house.
As the house.
The titular house.
I hate titles of movies that feel like the conclusion sentence of like a high school paper about a bad piece of literature. It's like, this in the summary, it was The Life as a House. It's like, fuck, that can't be the title
and
of
then
movie.
There were none.
So we have a random job generator that we found on the interwebs
on a high school occupation board.
Guys, yeah, secretly I'm just job hunting and this is
I'm trying to start a new career and I want some ideas.
If I can send my resume to any of you, let me know.
I do have to say, this feels like a pretty bulletproof way to get a movie made, is it seems like the number of bad blank movies is like, all you really need to do is put the word bad in front of a job title. And you've got a movie where Billy Bob Thornton is like dressed in whatever that job is.
Yeah.
But then he's like dipping his shades and looking over his shoulder. And like, and someone's like, that's not how a good person does that job.
I have actually never seen a bad movie. I've never seen Bad Santa. No, I haven't. Like, I'm so pure of heart that I've never seen a bad movie.
Bad Santa is like my go-to Christmas movie. Beyond Die Hard, Beyond
a good movie.
Ones. Yeah, Bad Santa is like a really fun one.
Yeah.
And also one of my favorite character names in any movie, which is Thurman Merman.
BBT is pretty good in that movie.
Oh, he's great.
Bad Lieutenant. Bad Times at... Oh, that doesn't really
count. Bad Times at the El Royale.
Bad Times at Ridgemont High.
Bad Boys Were Alive. Bad Mothers. Okay.
Yeah, Bad Boys. That was about two boys who were bad boys.
Yeah. It could have been called Bad Cops, but that's not as good as Bad Boys.
All right, so bad, and then Matt, give us a random...
No, I think, aren't we all doing one, then we're going to pick what to do?
Oh, God, I have a very good one.
You say yours, Will.
All right, a Story Break movie. Bad film producer.
Okay, Freddy.
I think that wins. I'm not going to lie. I don't think you guys are going to beat it.
I don't know. I'm pretty happy with mine.
Isn't Untouchable coming out later this year?
This summer, prep yourselves for Bad Singer.
So Marvel's better.
Yeah.
So Viggo Mortensen stars in Bad Blacksmith.
Whoa.
Okay. I don't know who would star in this, but it's going to be a pretty dark movie because it's Bad Minor.
Bad, no. Like M-I-N-E-R?
Very blue collar. Yes.
Bad
black
Minor.
Yeah.
By the way, what is this job occupation board here?
Yeah, this is, I was going through them. It's a British one. So I got Bad Lorry Driver, which allows us to use our brilliant Courtney accent the whole time.
What's a lorry driver?
Lorry's like a truck, yeah. I think.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Bad lorry driver.
This is actually
the biscuits
this is
on the
funny
A10.
Constantly. Bad bookkeeper, bad housekeeper. Oh, shit. Bad housekeeper starring J-Lo is like guaranteed.
Bad auctioneer.
Oh my God. Just a really slow speaker. Okay,
no,
we've
on,
got this on. One. Can I hear 250?
Sorry, no, okay. Wait, that was 240.
Oh.
Sorry, you, that's too much. You bid too much. Back up, back up.
Oh my
back
gosh.
Up.
Well, to
cancel.
Clarify, I
is
feel
this
like,
worth this?
To clarify, I feel like when there's like the bad, it's not that they're just bad at their jobs, which is obviously important, but they're like, they got that attitude.
They're,
it's like the bad attitude.
Bad.
Yeah.
Like it's a play on bad.
Yeah,
right?
They'd be like, 250, motherfucker. I don't think so, you piece of shit. You're out of here. Get out of here. Your hat's ugly. Be like, whoa,
but
this
slower.
Was a bad,
but
it's slow.
That but slower.
And stuttering.
Yeah. I feel like Bad Minor just like in hearing minor, it's like, yeah, I'm a bad minor because I'm an adult. I'm an adult, darn it.
I'm not a 13-year-old kid in the 1800s. Like, okay, this would be the one pitch I would have for a blacksmith is that you can do it, but you do it as a period. You do
it's like
it.
A medieval raunchy comedy.
It's a medieval raunchy comedy. Like the bad blacksmith, and everybody else is going to war, and everybody's taking this really seriously, and he's just hanging out, slaying chicks and dragons,
smithing up dildos for the queen.
Oh my God. Wait, but
hey, how come, that's so good. How come all of our sword handles look like phallus?
All of those handles of this long sword looks like a phallus.
Oh, that damn blacksmith.
All right, I'll say this. I'm down for Bad Blacksmith, and then I think the sequel is Bad Film Producer about the film producer who made Bad Blacksmith.
It's going to be like the Hearts of Darkness to Apocalypse Now.
Exactly. Yeah,
I just
yeah.
feel like Bad Film Producer is just Film Producer.
Film yeah.
Producer.
Like, yeah.
Just like,
can we try one more?
Let's do one more.
Is that breaking the game?
No. Yeah. No, whatever is funniest.
All right. I got one.
I mean, I got it's just the bad housekeeper again.
It's like the world is compelling us. Okay. Towards...
Go ahead, go Freddy.
This is just bad. This is bad local government worker.
Yes.
It's like a sequel to Veep. That's pretty good though.
I got bad toilet attendant.
Oh my god.
That's pretty good.
Like a towel guy?
No, yeah. I think it's like the
I love it because like what if it's the toilet that's bad? Like is it the toilet attendant or is it bad toilet attendant?
Oh,
bad toilet.
So the main character's in the toilet?
Like that's the antagonist does.
Hey, asshole, your ass sucks. Hey, asshole, you assholes. Hey, you should wipe more, buddy. Yeah,
I can
man,
see your butt.
Toilet. Man, this toilet sure
I
is
see
bad.
I see France. Ah.
Man, I keep flushing cocaine down the toilet, but the toilet just keeps smoking it. Yeah, I'm bad. Yeah. I'm a bad toilet.
He keeps smoking the
smoking
cocaine.
Yes. The wet cocaine.
I do lots of drugs.
Smoking wet cocaine, everybody.
Bad butler.
Oh, shit.
Because
that's
my God.
Got kids. That's got, he's supposed yeah. to be uptight and,
oh,
and proper.
Shit.
Like, that's a movie that could get sold tomorrow. I'm just saying.
Bad Butler is the first one that, like, all the other ones feel like, I'm like, this is a fun joke movie. But,
yeah.
like, Bad Butler, I think we just might have come
it's
up
like
with
Mary
a million
Poppins,
dollar.
But Mary Poppins fucks.
I like
Bad Butler.
I say we do Bad Butler.
Bad Butler.
Bad Butler.
Because I think, all right, clock starts. One of the things that I think we figured out. That's interesting is that a lot of these movies, again, they have the kids because there's nothing that succinctly visually sums up a irresponsible person than like them putting a child in danger, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the fun of Bad Santa is like he's smoking and like whoring out and there's like the kid is there, right? That's like
true,
that's
yeah.
the juxtaposition that really puts that into sharp
well,
relief.
That's why everybody thinks I'm good because I don't have a kid to like display my badness.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, the moment Beth is within 5 feet of a child, you're like, oh, Beth is kind of shitty.
Yeah.
I didn't think about this until I saw her compared to a kid.
Let's not talk about it.
Okay. Is this set today?
Oh,
or
Buck
is this
the problem?
Or is this like Downton Abbey again? That fucks. Is this like is
Downton
this,
Abbey that fucks?
I never saw Downton Abbey. Is there a lot of fucking in Downton Abbey?
There's some.
Is
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it like
moderate.
Is it like fucking or is it like oh?
What if it's like 19 70s. Split the difference between the war period. Like, and then...
Split the difference in the era of disco.
Yeah.
I like a prim and proper British household.
You can tell that this is what you want.
Because if there's only one butler, if it's just like, this is why I was thinking Downton Abbey, because if it's just like a butler, it's like you essentially just have Mary Poppins, somebody comes in and they cause problems. But you have if you have the whole upstairs, downstairs, and there's like a group of butlers and there's a whole society, and this one bad egg comes in and it's like fucking shit up, like then I get like also comparatively like...
Isn't that just The Sound of Music?
What's the plot of Sound of Music?
So it's like, what do we do with a problem like Maria? Because she's like in a convent of nuns, but she's like too edgy.
But she wants to fuck.
She wants to fuck.
Oh. I should watch Sound of Music.
Sound of Music?
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a very long
time. She's like, that's what it is. Just,
I have never.
She wails on the guitar and she wants to fuck.
She fucking shreds and wants to fuck. She's a rock star constrained by these fucking nuns. Not fucking nuns. She wants to be a fucking nun. And then she
Will's mom can't listen to this episode.
Mom, don't listen to this episode.
I'm just summing up Sound of Music for him. I mean, Will's mom knows Sound of Music. Everyone knows.
Have the sound of fucking.
Yeah, that's what the hills are alive. With the sound of...
Okay.
These are a few of my favorites. It's all sexual entendres.
Oh, come on.
It's a very raunchy movie.
Okay.
I've never seen Sound of Music.
We have to say so long farewell to that reference.
Boom.
Okay.
We got a bad butler.
In Bad Santa, I get it from the... It's like it's a guy who's supposed to be a Santa in a mall, and he's a piece of shit.
Well, No. He's a thief. Every year he does a score with his little person buddy. And
who's an elf, so they like infiltrate the...
They infiltrate the mall and steal stuff from the mall. And so that's the whole point, is that he's just doing the gig, and he doesn't give a shit about the Santa gig. He's just doing that so he can be a mall Santa and put him in play, so that he can steal stuff. So he's actually a thief.
And then the story is that then he connects with this really sad,
with
lonely
kid. Yeah, exactly.
Like who carves him a pickle. That's what he can. That's the only thing he can carve in wood.
It's pickles.
It's a pickle.
Well, he carves that pickle. He's like, why is it?
And he
like,
cut his hands super bad. It's a bloody pickle. Yeah.
That's a really good movie. Pickle. It's a great movie.
Okay. And then I never saw Bad Moms or Bad Teachers. So what would a bad butler do?
I'm Googling.
Well, like right, like
butler.
to take the bad Santa archetype, it's like he's infiltrating a rich person's house, you know, and he and his, you know,
I just assume butlers steal from their people. a bad Santa, you're like, oh shit, a Santa is stealing from a mall. That's crazy. And you're like, hey, this butler is stealing from the rich people he works for. You're like, yeah.
They're nanny cams. I mean, not in
the 1800s. Yeah, that's why there's no butlers.
So are
anymore.
We doing 1800s or like early 1900s or what?
Let's try to sketch out a hook for the plot, and then I think we can. Or
okay,
what are we gonna say?
I want to know, like, what does being a butler entail? Like, is it just, you know, is it just looking after the house? Is it what else do you do as a butler?
A butler should answer calls to the household phone, greet guests at the door, assist in planning of events and dinner parties, oversee table settings, and serve drinks and food. They will also, perhaps most importantly, manage the wine cellar. Additionally, a butler may be responsible for the other staff. And if you had like a manor, the other staff would be the lawns keeper, the people who walk the dogs, horse, you know, the stables, the people, the cooks, the personal cooks, etc.
Wow, you could really destroy a lot of lives as a bad butler.
Yeah, exactly. He's like he's like the chief of staff. He's the head of household.
All right, I would like to attempt to solve.
Okay.
So you have like, it's the bad butler is, you have like, it's like a, remember School of Rock, like his roommate is a music teacher. And then, like, I don't know why he can't do his job, but, like, then Jack Black was like, I'll just do this gig that you got hired for, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And then Jack Black becomes the School of Rock teacher, right? So you would do, it's like, there's this butler who's, like, a stuffy, prim and proper guy, right? He's, like, a good butler, and he's just gotten a new gig, like, as the butler to, like, a very fancy lord and lady. And then, but he's got this, like, reprobate of a brother, right, who is, you know... A kind of a hellraiser, kind of a bad boy.
Inexplicably has a Cockney accent
accent. He and his brother are identical twins. Hear me out. He gets arrested
for some
zany shenanigan his brother did, right? And then he's like, listen, I'm taking care of mom or whatever, right? And the bad boy criminal twin still cares about the mom or whatever. He's like, you have to go take this job. We can't let anyone know that we got switched because the scandal would ruin my career.
Oh my God.
Right? And so then, while I'm sorting this out, you've got to go be the butler in my place.
And then at the end, it would be like he got arrested for a crime he did to like save the mother. Like, say he was like stealing a loaf of bread for the mother or something.
Oh,
so it's like the wholesome reveal.
Yeah.
I could also see you start with this butler and they're like, and his name's Jeeves or whatever. And it's just like, you see what a good butler's like. Mm-hmm. And then the owner comes and is like, oh, Jeeves, you're such an important member of the family. We love you so much. We did get that information you were requesting. It does appear you have a twin brother who was left at birth, and we have his address. If you could of course take a break today and go find him. And then so you follow the brother to go find his identical twin, who's this fucking skeez bag. He's like, you're my identical twin brother, what do? You live in a rich ass house. And then that dude just takes his identity because he's about to get caught for some crime. So this poor butler walks into it, and then all of a sudden Jeeves comes back, but Jeeves got a brand new bag, baby. Who's this new Jeeves that shows up again?
All of our movies are now just turning into Face Off.
The year of Face Off, everybody.
My only problem with that is it feels like the main character of that movie is the good butler.
He's gone. You throw him out. That's the thing. It's like this butler is so bad that the first thing he does in the movie is the guy that you feel like is the main character. He throws him in prison for the rest of his life and does not give shits about it.
I do like the idea that they may have been separated at birth or didn't know that they were twins. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, the upsetting and then ultimately rewarding in a bad way reveal that, oh.
Okay, so yes, your first scene is we introduce the good butler, and we see, you know, the demonstration of like he's got
a shit on lock.
And then he finds out that he has this other brother, right? And he's like, you know, 10-15, you know, whatever lane. I wonder what sort of place he is or whatever. And then we fade away, we go to the thing.
Oh man.
And then we introduce, what were you gonna say?
What if he's like the butler to his twin?
Wait, he becomes the butler to the...
BYOB, be your own butler, ladies and gentlemen.
Go ahead,
what were you going to say?
I was going to say, you would do that, we go to the house, we go, and then this other guy is in the middle of some flim-flammery, right? Yeah. Like, he is in the middle of, you know, something, and then he gets into a whole bunch of trouble, and the cops are coming for him.
Yeah,
right?
If this was an HBO movie, it'd be like he's in bed with six naked women, he's got cocaine everywhere.
Yeah.
That
so
wet
he's...
cocaine that people smoke. And then the cops come in, they're like, you're
you
done
that?
For.
You smell that?
That's wet cocaine
in here.
They've been smoking. So then he runs away from the cops, and then
he bumps into his brother, right?
And his brother's like, you look just like me. He's like, yes, I'm your long lost brother. He's like, what do you do? He's like, oh, well, you know, I got a house. Why don't you come? He's like, what's the address? He's like, hey, you want to, these clothes are really cold. Can we switch clothes? He's like, well, I guess you're my brother. I'll do it. He's like, all right, I'll be right back. And he runs away and leaves his brother to get arrested.
So, in theory, it's like, yes, this man finds out he has an identical twin who's a butler and then goes to be the butler at the new house or whatever, right?
And then when he comes in, he's like, the first thing he's like, I got, man, my other brother had this shit pretty down on lock. It's like, you know, he's probably got like a scandalous thing with like the head waitress or whatever at the place. And then they're like, the kids love him. And he's like, everybody loves this guy. And now I'm this guy. What am I going to do with all this, you know, freedom and power and money now?
You know what would be interesting is that you can, because what you might do is, it might take too long, but you do it, it's like, we found your brother, he's in like Spain. So Jeeves is like, I'm going to take a sabbatical, I'm going to take a week to like reconnect with my family. So all this shit happens outside of the country, so it's not like it gets back to it. So when he comes back, then at least the family members have it be like, what happened in Spain? He's just like so different now, as opposed to being like a day later, very clearly a different person. Mm-hmm. You know?
He could also start trying, like, again, he's a smart guy. Like, he's a guy who's smart enough to swindle his brother really quickly. Like, he could start by trying to play it cool, and then then he starts realizing, like, again, you'd have things where it's like, again, if it was Mary Poppins-esque, it'd be like, oh, like, the Andersons across the way, their parties are so wild. Like, the politicians always come to their parties. How come our parties aren't such the rave, Jeeves? And she's like, well, maybe because we should have some prostitutes at this party.
Maybe we ought to take it up a notch.
And he's again,
maybe get some of that wet cocaine in here.
Like, again, he starts changing this, and he's going to bring down this entire prestigious family. It's really a metaphor about the death of the British
aristocracy.
Like, post-World War II is really what it's about. Yeah,
I mean... Yeah, I'm down for that. I feel like we're right now, we're like glamorizing butlerdom too much. Like, you know, when you're talking about, oh, and he gets to do all this cool stuff and like, you know, fuck the maid and restaurant people or something. Not that every house has a restaurant, but you know,
this house has a restaurant. That's like the first thing he does when he comes
in. I'm thinking Arby's. When I think of butler, I think of, you know, like a second class citizen essentially.
Yeah.
So it's not the most glamorous job.
It's gotta suck a little. He goes, it needs to seem cool at first, but then it's like, wait, I'm just waiting hand on foot on, you know.
I will say this as well. I'll throw this out there, which is that to me, the promise of like a bad blank movie is like, we're going to see someone be bad at this job and it's going to be funny, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Bad Santa is like, he's the skeezy dirtbag and you know, playing Santa, right?
Like they would mispronounce words.
I'm trying to
or like pour tea poorly, you know, all those hilarious things you could do for.
But that's essentially what I'm trying. Yeah. What I'm trying to get at is like, what is the like, you know, like, you know, Billy Bob Thornton is like, yeah, what do you want for Christmas? Yeah, the kid's like this. He's like, fuck you or whatever.
The queen's here. And she's like, can I have some more tea? And he's like, get it yourself, you old twat. And I'm like, whoa.
I could see some fun horse related pranks. You know, it's like, take the horse to the stables. And that horse just like kicks a dude in the face.
I think you're right, though, Beth, that it's like, what is like the butler job? How does this? Okay, so let's building off of what we have, we've got this, you know, sort of con artist, huckster, criminal guy in a butler job.
Oh, you need to give him Bad Santa works because they're trying to heist the mall. Give him that. Once he's in here, he's like, wait a second.
I could blank.
To
steal the jewel.
There's summer. You know, they always in the freaking like. What's the fucking best movie of all time?
Face Off?
No, yes. No, the one where they go hunting birds halfway through. It's an old Jean Renoir movie. Anyways.
Oh, Rules of the Game.
Rules of the Game. It's like Rules of the Game. At the end of this summer or whatever, they have a big hunting party where all of these royalty people come and fucking stay at this manor and hunt foxes or whatever they do. So he's like, this is the fucking thing. Like, I'm going to be the butler. I'm going to slowly replace all the staff with fucking my criminals back at a thing. And this, we're going to make out like kings at the end of this. And that's like what he's trying to do during it. But again, and part of the problem is the thing that's most in his way is his bad, shitty attitude. He's bad at being, again, the problem, like Billy Bob Thornton's character gets in his own way because he's a shitty person. Like, they could just do the job. And that's literally what the elf says to him. He's like, you're such a piece of shit. Like, we would
like,
get...
Can't you? Yeah, he's like, can't you just hold it together for 2 weeks?
Stop being such an asshole. Like, we would get this year. That's why I'm turning on you. Every year we could do this job super easily if you weren't such a piece of shit, alcoholic piece of shit. Like, that's what this guy's got to be a bad person because the fun of it.
And I like when you're saying that it's like he's got a bunch of crime cronies with him that he wants to like infiltrate because at the end he could be like trying to save this like manor. Like he could be like going against.
Oh no, we can't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be like when the kids gives him a
you know, we can't
pickle.
Do this. Aristocracy is good. I've learned the theme of this movie. People like me need to know their place and behave.
Exactly.
That's what he comes to learn. And then the big twist at the end is like, it's like The Departed. It's like the elevator door's opening and then he gets shot in the head. And who is it? It's his twin brother who learned the exact opposite lesson, being put in prison, being like, fuck the aristocracy. We're burning this place down. Thank you, brother.
Or he realizes he was rich the entire time and is like, you know, rich obviously in family and friends, but actually rich. And then he gets a butler and the cycle of abuse continues.
But you could also even have like, you know, to Beth, your point, the brigands can be like, oh, we're not splitting this. Like their selfish tendencies are, this is very bad Santa at this point. But like, you know what I mean? Like, right. Like that's the thing. It's like, they're like, oh, we're just going to cut him out of it. And he realizes, oh, I've been hanging out with bad people. Like, you know,
well, okay.
Cause what you do is think it's like, he gets it all planned out. He's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. I got to get one of my guys to be the freaking carriageman or whatever it is. Because when the men go out to hunt, he's going to drive them
way out
there and rob them. Like, I need the chef to poison them. I need the coat check person to be my person because they're gonna steal all the jewelry and then get it to the guy who's serving the beer because they're gonna put it in the barrels. Like, again, he's constructed. It's like, by the end of this, he's gonna rob like all the richest people in England on this one weekend.
I think you would do this too. As I was thinking back to the original characterization, which is that I don't think that you would do that. This butler, like the original butler, is like super well thought of. Mm-hmm. I think it would be like the even more sympathetic thing is, it's like, this is this guy who's just found his long lost brother and is begging the people at work to give him like a day off to run to Spain to go meet him or whatever. And they're like, oh, fucking fine, but it's coming out of your pay.
Honey,
right? Like,
how much time off has Jeeves taken this year? 14 minutes, and you want how long to go see your long lost brother?
A whole day.
A whole day. Hmm?
So it would be something like that. It would be like, because yes. then it, to me, like, at least then I go like, what the butler bad boy is going to do. Like, he's going to stand up because this other guy doesn't stand up for himself, yeah. right? It could be something like that. Then now it's like, hey, fuck you or whatever, right? I don't know.
No, yeah.
I feel like you want that kind of energy,
and
right?
you'd see like a criminal like aspire to the life of a butler, even if because they didn't, you know, you just think that it's better than yours. If our protagonist is a bad dude, but also sympathetic, and that he's hella poor and like just a total grifter, then you see that he wants to escape into the life of a butler, not only like, you know, physically from the police, but also emotionally into like a job that means something. But then he keeps fucking it up because he's like not a good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the fun of it, is because, like, yes, being a butler, obviously none of us would want to just like jump up and be a butler. But if you're talking about like the 1800s, like being a butler in a manor was definitely better than living on the streets in downtown.
Like, they still have butlers today. Like, it's not like it's not slavery. Like,
let me just say this. I'm an assistant at a production company, and I would love to be a butler.
The International Butler Academy, Butling and House Management School by Royal Appointment, is a fucking real thing that you could.
Yeah, they have butlers. It's a thing.
By the way, because again, you need this guy to be bad. So like, again, like this, it's like, how does he not get fired, right? Like,
I mean,
that would be my first question.
He
sleeps with a wife. He starts having an affair with a wife, of course, and she's like, you can't fire him. He's like, what, why not? He's the worst brother we've ever had. She's like, no, we
or
gotta
it's
keep him.
He sees the man of the house or whatever, he sees someone doing something bad, right? And now it's like,
yeah, he's gonna use his skullduggery to like get blackmail on people.
It's some kind of leverage.
He definitely is that. He definitely needs to sleep with a wife. He needs to be bad.
Because
the fun of it would be,
but
also,
like, I don't know why like, I keep trying to make him good.
I don't think like I'm sleeping with your wife is gonna get you to not fire me.
But she would be like, no. And then he would also be like, not only that, I got dirt on you.
Yeah.
She likes me. You know, it's like, it's the whole thing.
Or the kids love him.
It's the favorite.
Favorite. Yeah, it's the kids love him, too.
Oh, they get to
do bad things.
He gets the kids A's. They're having bad time in school, and he gets them A's. Like, how'd he get them A's?
Oh, I heard
the shit out of the teacher. He showed up at the teacher's house. Like, who are you? He's like, I'm their butler, motherfucker. And, and then beat the shit out of them. Like, hey,
I'm
look,
their
he's,
butler.
Look, he's disrespectful, but, like, our boy's got an A for the first time in their entire thing. He's
exactly.
Him.
It's like... Yeah, he's using his trickery to do that.
Okay,
I mean, it's a little bit of the favorite, right? It's like Emma Stone gets clever and starts to ply her position and use it to curry favor and all that. It's all that intrigue.
Okay, let's take a 10,000-foot view for a second. I like the idea that, you know, he gets into this butler life, right? And at first he's like, this sucks.
The butler life,
he's like,
choose me.
I live my life one table setting at a time. He shows up and he's like, oh, this is a pretty sweet place my brother's in, you know, lives in or whatever. And then he's like getting ordered around and, you know, he's got to wake up really early. He's like, this sucks. I'm out of here. Right. But then he would discover that there's some score, right? Like there's, holy shit, there's some job I can put together. If I can just suck it up and buttle my ass off.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually the verb, by the way.
No, I love that, you know, we get to have fun with how bad he is, and then he discovers the score and has to like try to fit into what a butler is.
You know what you could do? Okay, so this could be fun. I'm imagining a third character that's like the governess, or that's like the, like, you know, like the another sort of like, you know, upstairs, downstairs, another downstairs person, like this hard-assed lady, right? Right?
Yeah.
Who like smells a rat? Is the one who fish?
Absolutely.
She realizes that he's a fraud, right?
Yes.
And then she's like, "I know a fucking rat when I see one. You're
pulls
not."
Pulls him under the stairwell.
Yeah. She's like, "Listen, I'm gonna blow your cover. Like, I'm gonna fucking expose you to them." Like, and then he convinces her to get in on this score with him. She's like, "All right," but she recognizes another, because she's stealing silverware and stuff like that. She's like, "All right, but if you're gonna pull this off, you're gonna need me to train you how to behave
perfect,
like a butler."
Perfect.
You know what I mean? So she's kind of his mentor.
Yes.
That could be kind of fun. Yeah. So then now it's like, you know, he's got to like, you know, and again, then you get those fun scenes. If this was the macho dude who would like punch somebody's lights out, and then he has to sit there and take it while the lord of the manor is like, you know, hurling abuse his way and stuff like that.
To give it a kind of an ending, or like because this is definitely gonna be kind of like Bad Santa, kind of a mean movie that's got a little bit of heart to it, but ultimately the worldview of it is pretty
cynical.
You could do that. There's also, again, you always have those upstairs downstairs rules of the game. Always have like the slacker rich person. He's a prince. He freaking flies airplanes. He doesn't give a shit because he's had everything given to him. I feel like on that weekend he would kind of like, he would befriend that butler, be like, hey man, I get it, like, you're fucking cool, you're the first person to like say screw the aristocracy, this is rad. So you feel like he's kind of in on it. I feel like the ending is when the score goes down, he turns around and it's that guy, And he's like, and he takes all the money. He's like, thanks, man. You're still a fucking butler, though. Like, wait, it's like you're never going to enter. Like, yeah, you're never going to enter the aristocracy. Good job with your heist, but I got it all. And
then, is like, that the lord of the house? Or wait, who's
like
that?
It'd be like a nephew. Okay. Yeah, like the nephew who just got back from America because he was flying around the world in his new airplane and shows up and just shows up once a summer and just talks about, you know, he's got nothing to do. He's just this rich asshole. And you're like, oh. And it's like, no, at the end, it's like he could aspire to become... to steal from the aristocracy, but
you're still taking it from us.
Yeah, he's still taking it from us.
Shit.
Yes, exactly.
I like that. I just have this idea that, you know, those like all that old like janky footage of like shitty airplanes that didn't work.
Yeah.
Like with like the 12,000 wings or whatever, and then like the guy on the bicycle, you do just as the biggest Chekhov's gun on the table. You do the rich person who we like at the beginning of the movie screws him over is like this, you know, he's like, I'm gonna invent the flying machine, right? And he has like the plans for it, right? And we as the modern audience are like, that thing is never gonna fucking work. That thing's a death trap. And then I'm like, maybe you do, like, it pays off at the end, like we see him like try to escape. He's like, fuck you, I'm flying to America, I'm gonna get what I want, and he like flies off and then just wrecks.
That's very good. I thought you were gonna say that he goes in the backyard and there's just wreckage of all these shitty prototype airplanes, like, oh, those are John's. He's been trying to fly
and
an airplane.
And his first job is to clean up the wreckage.
And then to the left is like, oh, where are all those gravestones? Like, oh, those are all the various pilots trying to fly.
Or it's
the
like
airplanes
for him. It's like a test. It's like a parachute.
Oh, yes.
Like he thinks he's invented the
like
parachute.
That guy in the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, yeah. So like at the end of the movie is this guy's like, I'm gonna get away with my money by jumping off the roof of the house, and you're just like checking your watch, waiting for this guy. Or he's getting this like some zany wingsuit thing that he thinks is gonna let him fly.
By the way, here's a thing I think I'm thinking of random scenes of how bad of a butler he could be. Is like if he likes the kid, it should be like the kid is having one of the whatever his prince friends over, because there's multiple princes or whatever. Has a prince
lords,
friend over.
Lords and dukes
over. And they're, you know, they're doing horse riding. He's like, oh, like, he's so much better at horse riding than me. All the girls like him. And the bad brother's like, oh, is he? And he fucks up, like, the horseshoe. And then he's watching the kid.
A souped up horse?
No, he, like, fucks up the horseshoe, like, puts, like, a needle in the horse's foot.
Or he gets the horse drunk.
Yeah, like, something horrible. And then
he gets
that
horse drunk, dog.
And then the horse is riding and goes for a jump. And the horse just eats it. And the kid, like, breaks his entire bones. He's like, hey, that was, and the kid's like, dude, thanks a lot, man. That was awesome.
He's like, he was always a little twerp. And it's like, yeah, he's paralyzed for life now.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, perfect. He gets a horse drunk.
Like that shot of the guy kid being like, he's like, don't worry, I think this time his horse, I don't think he's gonna do so well this time. In the background, you see this horse just freaking face plant, yeah. And this kid go flying, and then everybody starts screaming, and the kid's like, holy shit. It's like, yeah, I'm a bad.
I don't know if our bad Santa needs to abuse animals. That's all I'm gonna say.
Well, no, he's not. It's not like he's abusing animals. He's, you know, whatever it is. It's like he's setting it up so that he's.
That's like saying our bad Santa can't drink and drive and slap a kid, which is what he does.
No,
that.
But it's like, no, I think Matt is dead on. You need him
in that
like,
tone,
really
need...
fucking up the
and it's
prim
a time period
proper...
thing. It fits in the time period. It's like it's something you see in The Favorite.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
it's
just
not
saying
that
like
weird.
if like I get it, but it's like it's that realm of like there's certain lines like if,
back up
if you've Billy
not
Bob.
Seen...
If
you've
Billy
not seen
Bob
Bad
Thornton
Santa.
Just like kicked a dog in the face
no,
in that movie, you'd be like, I don't like
if
this.
There was,
I don't like that.
If
there was
he
a
was
Duke,
doing it for a purpose.
If there was a Duke that came up to the little kid that you like, there's one little kid that you like, and if a Duke came up and slapped him and said, my parents are going to buy your parents, and then I'm going to send you to the Ivory Coast, and you're going to be a slave, because I also hate black people.
My parents are going to buy your parents.
Yeah. Very good. I hate this kid, and then the guy who's shitty, yes, he's shitty, he goes a little too far, and he like... He
paralyzes
makes it,
the kid.
He makes it so that the horse will fall. And sure, you do that, the horse doesn't die. But he makes it so the horse will fall, and that kid gets paralyzed. You're like, that's way too far. But you're also like, I get it. I'm like, yes.
He also, the fun up. Of it is in the background. The horse falls. They're like, oh my God, my Lord. They're all running over. And then like the groundskeeper's like shakes his head and shoots the horse because the horse is
yes,
bad.
Oh that's God. Absolutely the end of oh that scene.
Yeah. And they're both sitting there looking back. It's like, worry not, my Lord. I think you will find his beast will be quite uncooperative. He dies like... Oh, well,
if it was set today, it would not work. But in that time period, in the context,
it's a brutal time period.
Yeah, you totally would be like, if you can watch Game of Thrones, you can watch this guy fucking up this kid.
Because also he's doing it because, again, it's the intention. The intention is he wants this kid to feel better. If he feels like something for this kid and it's like he's getting bullied by this little twerpy asshole.
Yes.
But there's this, I don't remember what it is in Bad Santa, but there's like a similar scene where Thurman Merman's getting like bullied by the other kids and he fucks up these other kids.
Yeah, he just beats the shit out of these like 10-year-olds.
Yeah, he goes to the park. Yeah, part of us, he's like drunk in the parking lot and he fucks up these other kids with their bikes. And you're like, yeah. Thurman Merman's a good kid with a good heart. That's what it is. The kid has to be pure of heart. And then, so to me, then the question is the ending. This pure of heart kid is going to witness his hero, right? Because there's a loss of innocence moment there where he realizes his hero's doing all that stuff. What is his reaction to this kid?
What's the movie with the kid and the butler, the drama you always talk about, Matt?
Oh, Fallen Idol.
Fallen Idol. So there's a movie from the 40s where it's the kid idolizes the butler and then he finds out the butler's having an affair or something.
Yes.
There's a whole thing.
Fallen Idol's brilliant. It's a Carol Reed movie. It was after The Third Man. The main conceit of it is that he loves his butler. This butler always tells him stories because he's the only friend this kid has. And the kid, he sees the butler having an affair with what he thinks is his niece. Like, it's something bad. It wasn't his niece. It was just like he had an affair with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady accidentally falls down the stairs and dies. And the kid loves his butler so much, he keeps lying to protect the butler. And every lie he tells just makes the butler more and more in trouble. And by the end, he ends up getting his butler sent to prison. And the point being is, like, it's because it's this, like, the danger of a false idol, even somebody as innocent as, like, your brother. It's very good. It's all about also the class struggles, and it's a brilliant movie.
So we need to have, like, the Cockney, like, wise, street smart, Dodger-esque like maid character, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like the antagonist, like the overt antagonist needs to be like the lord of the house, like, you know, constantly demeaning and sniding, like, sniveling at the butler and stuff like that. And so,
well, because you need someone that is like, ooh, he's gonna take him down.
Yeah,
like, you want that kind of in the same way that Ocean's 11, right? They paint the casino owner dude, played by, I forget what's his face,
Andy Garcia.
Andy Garcia person, as like a real
one. That's how I say goodbye, Andy Garcia. Dungeons and Dice has ruined my life.
You need one person that even he doesn't fuck around with. Like, he tries first, and the guy just beats the shit out of him. It's like, you're my butler. And it's like, okay, like, this is like the one, again, the one person he can complain about. And he's like, this guy's a problem.
Like the not even funny antagonist.
Yeah,
like,
no, not at all. Like just a horrible person.
Like the damn antagonist.
Could you, let me combine two ideas. Maybe this will be the little bit of, because again, I'm definitely not a nihilistic enough person to be able to write a movie like this, because clearly I'm too squeamish about it. But could you do, everyone, all right.
Watch him come up with the most fucked up thing you've ever heard.
You do, it's a twist, and that it's the kid, it's Thurman Merman, turns out to be the piece of shit who fucks him over at the end. Do you mean like a double turn on it, right? Where it's like the whole movie, we're like, oh, this poor little kid picked on kid that he befriends, right? And then he does all this stuff. And then Thurman Merman's a fucking psychopath at the end.
God.
Who's the one who pulls that next move and is like, I fucking got it all. Screw you. Do you know
Isn't
what I mean?
Even more cynical?
It's like Timmy in Identity.
Yeah, but I mean, like, to me, that's like, but like, I'm like, I don't want to just do Bad Santa. Like, can you do, I don't know. I was
if
like,
you're going to, okay, well, I like that because it's more, again, it's actually more so. Because again, it's not just Bad Santa, because I think what it has, honestly, is like Bad Santa meets The Favorite. Because I think because you're putting in this aristocratic context, like, it also changes.
It's a very constrained social structure.
Yeah, it has a bunch of other stuff going on in it. And again, I would also just say really quickly, the thing that Bad Santa does well, that I'm assuming those other movies don't well, though I haven't seen them, is that what I like about Bad Santa is, like, at the end, he's not redeemed as a good person.
No, not at all.
Like, I'll actually argue the worldview is not that cynical. It's like, he's a bad person. It doesn't, the cynical worldview be like, oh, he just gets fixed and it's all fine. It's like, he's a bad person, but it's like, even bad people have some goodness in them, and it doesn't, at the end, it's like, the kid's good. Like, that's what you learn. Like, it's like, that kid's good, and then, you know, a bad person should, even a bad person can be good to a good kid, but the kid's good. He's bad. He sucks. And he's not the worst person, because he actually literally murder somebody, which is what his accomplices
do. He refrains from murdering someone, and it ends with him, like, writing a letter to the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, he's in prison. He's suffering.
Yeah,
society's punished him for it, but he's made a connection with
the kid.
It's like
a Baby Driver had the balls to end Baby Driver with him going to prison and staying in prison because he was also a bad person. Instead of he gets his car and the girl at the end because he was in prison for a month.
Well, I think the difference here is what you're saying, Freddie, where it's like, how do you show a character with the worst manners in the world in a setting where manners are everything?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. That's the fun
so
of
So there's
it.
The tension of him learning it, and then there's
like
the
jerk.
The jerk. Yeah. Yeah. The jerk. Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. Not a bad one.
In terms of like some of the humor.
Okay.
I do like what you're saying, though, where it's like in the end, it's like, oh, yeah. Guess what? You can't trust the rich, right?
Yeah.
That's
what it is.
Like,
it
guess
is.
What? They're all shit. Even this little kid that you thought was innocent, he's shit. And in a weird way, they're actually the worst people. What you realize, you're like, well, this guy's so bad, but it's a trivial badness compared to how bad the aristocracy
is.
Yeah.
This is how you do it.
We only like badness with transparency, darn it.
The kid and the ending is like the kid, the little adorable
kid.
Kid
jumps off the roof.
No, he just stares at him. He just stares at him. And he's like, well, this was a, so you're not going to tell on me? He's like, no, but but what? I'm bored of you. And then he goes, oh. Yeah, it's just like, that's it. It's like, he was just
a
plaything, like everybody is for the rich in this in the aristocracy. And the kid's like, I'm bored of you. And he's like, I'm going to get a new butler. And then this guy, again, he's alive. He got out. He stayed out of prison. But he's sent packing. His heist is gone. And he's got nothing again.
Like, I want a new butler. And I always get what I want.
Exactly. And you're like, shit. Oh, if you wanted a little bit of a sweetness, what you do at the end is the guy is sent packing because the rich suck. This is very much a guillotine sort of movie, I guess. Is then you cut to prison and he bails his own brother out of prison
with a little money that he got,
with a little bit of money that he stole, and then the two of them go off, you know, to survive the streets of. And it's like, and it's also like a little bit like, I saved you to a degree. Like, you didn't want to be there. That place was clearly worse than this horrible streets. Let's go off. It's like,
and
okay.
Now he can put butler on his resume. Who knows? He's got tons of possibilities.
And if he wants to steal that little bit of nihilism, he bails out his brother, but then his brother just hits him and walks off. He's like, well, he did a good thing.
He doesn't get a happy ending.
To reconnect, but they're like through prison bars, and then the brother gets out and immediately pushes him back in prison.
Okay.
And the fun of it might be he's like, you know, it's that he gets his brother or whatever, and he's like, well, what do we do now? It's like, I do have a lead. Someone is, you know, some other lord across town needs somebody.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like, you know,
use a partner. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the goal is, and it's like, oh, they've learned. And now this time, they'll get one up on these guys. But, like, you know, he's learned the lesson. So
sets up the sequel, Bad Butlers.
Yes.
It goes Bad Butler, Bad Butlers, Bad Butler 3, Bad Butler Resurrection.
The next Bad Butler.
Bad Butler versus... I'm doing the
anime. I mean, it's clearly bad. It's clearly Bad Butt.
I was doing Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
It's Bad Butt 3 R. The 4 instead of the ER. It's Bad Butt 4.
It's Bad Butt 4. Oh, because the kid survived.
Yeah, it's Bad Butt 4 coming to America.
I was going to say, whatever he bails his brother out with at the end is like, the kid needed it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, either sold the kid's incredibly expensive medication that keeps him dying of some old-timey disease, or it's like there's like the core central gizmo in the kid's flying machine is like a diamond filament, and he stole the diamond and sold it, and then you cut to the kid on the roof of the mid-highest, and then he just flies off and crashes.
Or it's like whatever proves that the kid is related to the Lord. Like, it's like his birth certificate, or it's like his inheritance or something.
That'd be pretty good. He's sent out into the streets because they're like, you're not really our kin. That would be good.
Yeah, he has like some signet that,
and then he
like,
goes
proves...
looking for the butlers who screwed him. And he's like, you're gonna help me get my title back.
In Bad Butler 2,
Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Definitely the two brothers' name are Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs! Sir Hobbs, please fill my tea up. I need a touch up on the tea. And then it's like, my dirty brother, Shaw.
Oh, in fact, when the kid says, I'm bored of you, he goes, I'm bored of you, just like I was bored of your brother. He knew all along. He didn't give no shits that this was a new butler. Yeah, this kid sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm bored of you. And I always get what I want. And he's like, oh, shit. And yes, he's cast out with nothing except for a few bucks. He bails out his brother. His brother punches in the face. Like, you're a piece of shit. He's like, well, at least my brother's not in prison anymore. This is my one kindness that I do this entire movie. And you see that there's a little bit of humanity in him, but it's like everybody sucks in this movie.
Okay. All right. Let's. I feel like we've got the ends.
Yeah.
Let's go big picture for a second. So, okay. So our first act is we meet our two twins, right? So we introduce the one twin who's getting pushed around in his shitty job and is just trying to get a little time off because he's always wanted a family, right? And he found out he has a long-lost brother, and so he's going to go visit his long-lost brother, right? And hoping for this joyous
reunion. But Hobbs, we are your family. Yes, I know that, sir, but like...
But my blood.
So then his brother is, in the middle of like a, you know, a...
Street con.
He's, his brother's... Because you need him to be at his house, right? Because his brother is running a seance. And his brother, like a fake seance, and he's stealing a grieving widow's money.
Yeah. Oh,
perfect,
gosh,
perfect.
Yes.
And then the Bobbies kick the door in, and they're like, what's all this? And then he's got to run, right? And then like his whole zany contraption got foiled.
And wait, the family that he's like, quote unquote, helping is like, wait, but what about my uncle? And then he's like, he's dead.
Your uncle says, hold the door closed.
Yes.
He says, by all means, you must keep that door closed. Okay.
So he bolts, he bumps into his brother, he screws his brother over, gets sent to jail, and then he's like,
There's
I guess
a
I'll go.
Bizarre doppelganger moment where he's not sure if he's his brother.
And then
I'm not the man you're looking for. Yeah, we've heard that before. Yes, he's sent to prison.
And then you do. So the brother gets dragged off. And they're like, he's like, look at my clothes. He must have changed his clothes. Yeah.
A real crafty one, this
so
one.
He's got the address. He's got his brother's address. And I was like, interesting. I'll go see, you know, how the other half lives. And he shows up at this mansion. She's like, ooh, this is pretty swanky. What am I, the lord of the manor? Like, yeah. What's going on? And then it's like, oh, fuck, I'm the butler, right?
Yeah.
So then he's like, being a butler sucks. So this is essentially.
That's a good first thing. He's like, Shaw, what happened to your clothes?
So
this
yeah.
is coming out of your pay.
Good God, man. You look a fright or whatever. and
I like that, like, there's a moment of him thinking that he owns the house or something where it's very much like a Home Alone, like, big situation.
Oh, he goes up to the lord, be like, oh, you must be the butler. He must be my butler. God. Good. He's like, what is this?
And that's when we see how, like, vicious the lord is.
Yeah,
like,
he backhands him with his cane, his ring, and cuts his face.
He just gets his ass kicked.
And then you're like, okay, I kind of root for this piece of shit to rob these people.
Yeah,
also.
So then you do, okay, so yes, and then act two, he comes to the manor, he doesn't understand how it works, he gets humiliated and punished. Yes. And then
he gets hurt, and then the maid in the kitchen, like, maid is the one who, like, patches him up, the old war wound, but he's an asshole during
and that. Then and that's how she realizes that he's not who he says he is.
Yeah, because... Oh, your brother had green blood or something.
Your brother had Vulcan
blood.
I'm
just kidding.
So she always hated his brother because she was like, the brother's always stuffy and looking down at me, but you're different. Like, I know it's, So, okay, so good.
I know a crook when I see one.
Well, but she'd be trying to be like, oh, no, this is bad. I'm going to try. Right?
Well, he's forced to kind of have to try to be a butler, but he is naturally lazy and shitty, right? So he's going to start doing things to try to cut corners.
And to be fair, I think his first move might even be like, fuck this. This is stupid. I got my ass handed to me. I don't want to serve rich people. Or maybe she's pulling him into it or something. You know, I'm just, that's all.
Here's what I would say.
I mean, it's warm food. He gets warm food and he gets this stuff and he's like, oh, this is pretty shitty. But my point is, like, if he starts cutting corners, that's when he starts, instead of doing the bed, he just, like, throws it underneath something and then he finds the files that, like, gives him something.
I was just gonna say, Freddie, I like that, you have to initiate that there's something that she wants and that, like, what's the second act goal for him is to get this thing. Like,
I think it's, he shows up, he's like, wow, being a butler is really hard, and then you do him struggling at being a butler. He's out of his element, he's getting yelled at all the time, like, you know, and he's nervous because
he's on the verge of getting fired.
He gets thrown out, the cops are gonna find him.
Yes, the reason he stays is the cops will find him, and again, it's still better than he's got food. And
what I was gonna say is that I feel like the real reason he stays has to be the heist. I think it's like, I think you would do a moment at which he's going to cut bait and run.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He's planning on getting out of there. And then he just goes, so we got to the fox hunt or whatever. Yes. We need to figure out what the thing is. And then, so essentially the end of the second act is the maid is like, I will teach you how to be a butler. If you bring me in on this heist.
Yes. I feel like you get a little bit, ignoring the act for a second, I feel like this is all the third act if we're doing five acts. It's like, I feel like the initial thing is, bear with me, because he just escaped from prison, and when you have somebody slap him around, I'm not sure, but I feel like you want that first moment of he gets there, he's like, okay, everybody here is stuck up, but he walks down into the kitchen, there's a bunch of nice cakes, he's like, puts his finger in it, he looks at, like, the cute waitress and sees, like, you know, everybody's eating, he's like, maybe this isn't gonna be so bad, and he tries it, and then it gets so shitty, he's like, no, fuck this, I don't need this, and then he comes up with the idea for the heist.
Yes.
And then he sees the heist and he's like, wait, I need to be a good butler so I can stay here because I'm going to pull off this massive heist.
Because he doesn't plan it. He would have to plan it.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
It might even be the maid's idea.
Yeah.
And then she cuts him. She's like, she needs someone. She's always had this idea for a job.
That's more fun than her being that. Like, you think she's the stuck-up person. It's because she's been perfect, because she's been one. Again, she needs to be unnoticed.
Yeah.
So she can eventually rob them
all. It's like Emma Thompson, right?
You're going to ruin it for the rest of us.
Yes. Well, yeah. He's like, no, fuck this. I don't need this. And then he stops him. He's like, she's like, I need you. He's like, what? He's like, I know who you are. We fucking could take these guys down if you could just get your shit together and act like a butler for 1 second.
Yeah. So essentially, yeah. So here's what I would do. It's like, yes.
He's a key to the plan.
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. Very good. All right. So here's what you do. By the way, I don't think it's a fox hunt. I think it's a ball. Like, I think that way you can keep it at the house. It's not like you're all that. But here's what you do. So
there are guns in a fox hunt.
Yeah, but the guns are in the house. Because they could, you know, put the gun. Anyway,
there's a gun in every ball.
They could also do crazy things like, we're going to let the geese out inside the house. Oh, let's do the shoot in the house. Rich people, you know?
It's also the metaphor of the rich people hunting down animals.
Sure. Okay. Whatever it is, here's what I was going to say. The second act, he's trying to lay low and blend in as a butler, right? And then I would do, it's like, ah, shit. Like, the lord of the house is friends with, like, the high constable or whatever of the police. Like, there's some cop who's staying at the house for the summer, right? And so he's like, I need to get the fuck out of here, right? So now his plan becomes to escape. End of the second act, the maid reveals she knows who he is and is like, you can help me with this job. He works for Scotland Yard, or he's a big politician or whatever. And he's like, he's here because there's a big ball that's coming, right? And we can pull off the score of a lifetime if you work with me, right? Yeah. And it's like, and it can even be, if you don't work with me, I'll tell him who you are, and then you won't make it off the grounds before Scotland Yard catches you.
I think I agree with that. I think the flow of the third act is going to be more fun than, bear with me, rather than like, I have to be uptight and not be noticed, you're going to get more hijinks, and it's gonna be more fun if he keeps being almost thrown out of the house and he keeps having to find ways to not be fired by being bad. Like, if it's just him pretending to be good the whole time, it's like, it's just a guy pretending to be good, as opposed to he's about to be fired, so he sleeps with a wife, so then the wife isn't gonna do it, and then the kid wants him gone, but then he beats up the teacher to get straight A's. Like, it's like, that's more fun because that's him constantly. And she's like, how are you screwing this? Like, whatever, man, they're not gonna fire me, like, I'm fucking doing my best.
Sure, I think that's the tension. I think the tension is she's trying to, again, the maid is trying to help him blend in, and then he fucks up, and then the way he solves these problems is by going all in.
I feel like the constable shouldn't be the reason that he stays initially, though. I feel like the constable should come in later, and it's like, that's when the maid reveals her loyalty.
It's a lord from across England, and it's like everyone's starting to show up because it's like it takes a little bit of time to travel, and everyone's starting to
essentially all I was trying to get at is that, like, some person of authority, a judge, right? Mm-hmm. A judge that he ran afoul of, like a judge who could make him, do you know what I mean? Because that's also a kind of classic thing, is like, you know, he's been in front of this judge 1,000 times, and he's like, oh shit, this guy's here, that guy's here, because again, it's the start of the season, right? So he's staying at the house, you know, and like more and more people are going to be coming to the house in advance of this ball. So, like, he's originally why he wants to get the fuck out of there. Mm-hmm. And then the maid's like, no, you got to stay. And then so this judge is also like, I was like, do I know you from the war, sir? Like, were you in my unit? I guess that whole thing.
Oh, you know, it'd be a fun moment. Actually, this could be fun. Rather than just like the maid suddenly being like, surprise, like, I'm bad. Like, have her be the antagonist. Like, she's almost the reason he's just going to finally, like, whatever, I'm going to go back to the streets. Like, this is not worth it. She's on my ass so much I can't do anything wrong around here. If there's seances, rich people do this shit all the time. One of the people come in early, and they're going to do a seance. Like, oh, you're doing a seance? And it's like, yes, my maid does seances. And he watches her and knows that she's pulling a grift. And all of a sudden, she's coming downstairs, and he's, like, lighting a cigarette. He's like, so how much did you get from them? She's like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, I know these things. You're a fucking grifter. And then, like, he catches her in the act knowing that she does it. It's like, oh, we're of like minds. And he's like, what's the game here? What are you doing? She's like, all right, this is, like, yes, I steal from these people. Like, let him kind of discover, because he's so shitty, he knows.
He knows a con. He knows a con when he sees it.
Yes, he sees her doing a seance.
19th century, big into spiritualism.
Yeah. I also love the idea of him, like, when these important people are coming to town, like, putting, like, fleas in their beds or something like that.
He drops the
he's assigned laundry, and he drops the laundry, like, in the manure, and he goes, and he just brushes it off, and then one of the kids dies of whooping cough.
Oh my god,
like, he's just, because, like, being a bad butler would be very bad, like, oh, somebody's children got really sick. And
well,
like,
I love that you're also in the background, there's clearly like a Pride and Prejudice style romantic drama happening between like the strapping young war hero who is here to ask the girl to dance at the ball, and then there's, like, you know, the guy that her parents want her to marry. There's like all this, like, there's essentially one of those movies going on
that is getting
in the way of their high, so they keep sabotaging it.
They
dump the horse manure, like, in the rose garden by accident, and then, like, the guy and the girl are, like, trying to do the romantic proposals, you're like, I'm sorry, it smells like shit around here, what's going on?
Lean in for the kiss. I'm sorry.
Okay, so yes, I love Act Two. He's gonna run. He discovers that the maid is also a con artist because she does a seance, right? Yeah. And that's great too, because then you can do later. They're trying to convince someone that there's a ghost.
There's a ghost in the house. Like, I'm haunted.
She's like, no, I'm nothing. He's like, so you're just like me. He's like, no, I'm nothing like you. I'm a fucking professional.
Yeah,
that's he didn't know I was a goddamn grifter. Whereas you just come in here and just start throwing shit around.
Okay.
I don't want to work with you.
This is
like,
very
I don't want to work with you.
Okay, so it's the maid and the butler. It's Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Okay, so then at end of Act Two is the handshake to be like, we're going to pull this con together, right?
Yeah.
So then your third act is the wacky hijinks and getting prepared for it, right? Like, they need to get the groundskeeper fired, right? Because they need to get one of his guys in as the new groundskeeper. Yeah. So there's that. There's him trying to convince the judge that he is, you know, not this criminal. And the judge winds up thinking that he's, you know...
A war veteran.
A war veteran or something. And then he's like in this room with with all these guys talking about their experience in World War
One. Like, he has like a whole night. She's like, again, I just imagine these are two both gross people that just have sex every night too. So she's like, are we gonna have sex? And he's like, I really gotta read up on the fucking Falcons in this war. Like, I know they're gonna ask me all this shit. You know what we did in the Congo was really horrible. Like, I'm glad I was not in this war.
Oh, and like a moment, like just bringing the kid back into the situation, and so he's uneducated, and then the kid has like some Shakespearean assignment or whatever, so he just like makes up something, and that could be funny, but it's also touching because he's like trying with this kid.
Yes.
And then it's just really gonna sting later.
Yeah, the kid's like, what does this passage mean? And he's like,
you know, you have the one moment before, right before what you do is also right before the kid tells him I'm bored of you. He needs to have a moment where like the kid's, he's like, at least you have a brother, like sort of thing, where like you see this one moment where like there's a little tinge of like, shit, I had a brother and I just like mistreated him. Like, you know what? Like, maybe I should be a little bit better like this kid or whatever.
Or like he does have a brother. He does have a brother who's like maybe the prince's or the kid is like secretly poisoning his brother. And but you don't know. And but you know, like the kid's like, oh, I don't care about my brother. Like he's just a burden. And then like the guy's like, you gotta be nice to your brother. Sometimes it's all you have left.
Yeah. That's very good.
Finding out that the kid is poisoning his brother.
It would be he's the younger child.
Yeah.
And
the
like,
older brother's sick.
The older brother's getting
all the attention. Yeah.
Well, no, it'd be the older brother's sick, but it's also like the dad's secret is like, I don't know if like, you know, like obviously the older brother's not gonna be able to take care of the estate and all this stuff.
Why
the younger
is frail. He is of a frail constitution.
Too bad that my eldest is frail. Like maybe, you know, my younger's gonna have to, you know, pick up the family claim and all this stuff. And it's like, oh, it's because this fucking kid is poisoning
his
older brother.
Yeah, the kid's pulling his own con. Like,
yes.
A really fucked up, yeah.
Okay, so yes, you do in Act 3, Yagi, and he's outsmarting the judge who's trying to figure out who he is. He's, you know, like he gets into a scandalous affair with the wife who's, you know, and then, you know, he's pissing off the Lord who wants to get him. But the Lord's trying to find, again, because the Lord is like not really the Lord of the house, right? Like he thinks he's in charge, but the wife has a say over everything. So it's like he's trying to find ways to get the butler fired. Meanwhile, they're planning their big heist at the ball. The ball is coming up.
Should we figure out like the MacGuffin of the heist? Like what is the heist?
Again, it's Ocean's 8. It's where it's these jewels.
Yeah.
And it's the family jewels. So you do like, because it's this big fancy ball and they want Lady whoever, the daughter, to impress, again, that's where it intersects with the Pride and Prejudice plot. Like,
yes,
they want the daughter to steal the eye of this strapping young lord, right? So they're gonna glam her up in with the like the heart of the ocean, basically.
Yeah.
Like, they have the jewels that always work, right?
Yeah.
And previously they're only in the safe, and it's only
they only ever take them out because they know they don't trust anybody, right? So they're gonna, and then they need to steal the jewels off of, because that's when it's gonna be happening. Essentially, it's like kind of an Ocean's 8 thing.
Yeah, I like that.
And then you can do like again, like because then you have this crisis where like the girl like you know is like I can't be seen at the ball, and she won't come out of her room, and it's like
oh shit,
are we gonna do, like, no, we gotta give her the confidence to get down there so we can steal like it, whatever. Like that would be the that could be the maid subplot, is trying to ingratiate like this part of the courtship with the girl.
Yes.
Or something. I don't know.
Yes, I like that she's got this dress, this like famous dress that's only used for super special occasions. That's like all diamonds. That's like literally they're
so
like
the maid's like goal is just try to get the dress off her.
It's like literally they're like South Africa was literally colonized just entirely for this dress. Like it's like, oh, I hate these people. Like these are horrible.
Yeah,
people.
Or it's again like and I was thinking a necklace. I mean,
yeah.
Something.
It's super blinged out, tons of diamonds.
Something that she needs to be seduced off of.
Yeah, that's actually pretty fun.
Yeah,
and then they're going to do the... And then I like, by the way, that they get it, and it's, again, the younger kid sees it. And it's like, again, it's the family jewels.
Yeah,
and
he's like, so that's what he wants. Yeah,
and he's like, oh, like, you know, it's just like, oh, I know. I'm bored of you. These are my jewels.
Yeah, so you would do essentially Act 3 is building up to the ball, like getting the ball to happen without a hitch. Then you have the heist itself is your sort of Act 4.
Yeah.
Then things go crazy, and then your climax is the showdown with the kid.
Yeah.
Or, like, what if the jewels that are obtained are not the real jewels, and that's the jewels that he gives.
Oh, they're
the
fake.
Yeah, so there's the double switcheroo where it's like, yeah,
like the kid knows the combination of the safe. He knows, he kid catches wind of it, he switches them out. He's like, those are worthless because I think what you're looking
for. Oh, and
for
the kid,
like,
and he's like, why did you? Oh, because the point of that would be like, why would you do this? Like, why would you let us fuck up this? Because the thing goes crazy wrong. People are dying, like, animals are running through the house, like, the place is on fire, and they barely get the jewels out, and they're fake, and it's the kid. Because, like, oh, I knew, like, I switched them out. He's like, why would you let us go through all that? He's like, because, why not? This is the most fun I've had.
Bored.
Yeah, this is the most fun I've had. This is fantastic. Let's build a new house.
beautiful folly.
Yeah, so like he's like, this is great. What else am I gonna fucking do? I'm super rich. I'm 10 years old. This is the best fun I've ever had. It's like, you are a piece of shit. He's like, yeah, I know who, and so are you. And I'm bored now. I'm gonna get a new butler. Fuck you, asshole. You're like, oh my god, this kid was a monster.
That's such a fun twist that the kid's been this piece of shit, conniving Machiavellian entity
mastermind.
The whole time.
Yeah. It's like doing it out of boredom is worse out of. Like, that's the
because
true
they're
evil.
So rich. Yeah,
like, that's true evil. Yeah. Like, the kid represents what true evil is. Like, this guy's bad. This guy's very bad. But
this kid's like, you're all my playthings. Yeah,
exactly.
This is my dollhouse.
Exactly. These are all my toys. Yeah, you're all my toys.
And I always
well,
call
you know what's great is you do the kid has a dollhouse and he gets bullied because he's a boy with a dollhouse. But then you do it's like, no, like this is his planning room.
Dude,
like, you guys are so sick. You flash back and you realize this has just been him. Oh, this whole thing has been orchestrated in the dollhouse.
It's like Sharp Objects. Have you read that?
No,
or, like,
no.
Seen it?
Oh, what happens? Spoilers for Sharp Objects.
So it's like the young sister who's been planning this murder the entire time, and she hides. So the murders are the kids get their teeth removed, and she's been doing this replica dollhouse of the house that she grew up in, and the floor is made out of teeth at the end.
Ugh.
Yeah. So. Ugh.
But it's like you're like, oh fuck, like this kid, it's the Kaiser Soze.
Yeah,
it's like you cut back to the dollhouse and you're like, shit, it was all right in front
of
us.
Even the older brother is like slowly walking all sick and he just starts walking normal. He's like, that's right, motherfucker. We're just bored kids and we do whatever the hell we want.
You know what actually the older brother being in on it too is fun as
like
well.
That, yeah.
Because then you do it, he makes him realize what you can accomplish with a brother.
Yes,
exactly.
These two brothers trusted each other much. They were able to pull this whole thing.
That's actually the funny lesson he takes. He's like, she's like, well, that was a shit show. He's like, yeah. You know what though? It's like those little evil brats, like, yeah, you know what though? Like, at least they're brothers. It's like he goes, then you cut to him at prison, like getting his brother out.
Okay. Yes. This is very good.
Because the kid's like, oh, I wouldn't be able to accomplish this ... without my brother.
Without me. Yeah. And then he reveals, it was all a sham.
Then our con artist realizes that, you know, the sequel will be bigger, stronger, uncut without with the brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it could be that if you actually wanted your last action scene, it could be him busting his brother out of prison. Could be that the twist.
It's an action movie now.
Your last big cinematic. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's like his brother's going to get hanged for all of his for all the stuff he did.
All his crimes.
It's like the end of Pirates of the Caribbean where he's got to rescue Jack Sparrow, right?
Oh, my God.
His brother's about to get executed.
Are you busting me out? And he's like, no, I'm buttling you out.
I feel like the ending is like he sets his brother's bail and then the brother's walking towards him. And he's got a big smile on his face and his brother just punches him in the face and he walks away just sitting there in prison still by himself. Like, he's not rewarded for being
I like him getting I just think you could maybe if you wanted to have another like fun thing it could be him rescuing his brother. It wouldn't be like a full-blown crazy thing. All right, that feels like a movie.
That's it.
You were hit right on the hour mark. Right,
that's
like,
oh my gosh,
that's a good movie.
That's a fun movie, everyone.
Guys, it's a fun movie.
It's a fun movie.
Beth approved.
Hey, we're Ben and Adam, and we're here to tell you about our Star Trek podcast, The Greatest Generation.
Why should I listen to a Star Trek podcast? You may be asking yourself. Well, ours is actually good and funny.
We joke around, we have a lot of fun, we talk about film production techniques that are used in Star Trek. We love to break down the stories and the characters, and we just have a blast while we're doing it. It's kind of like sitting around with a couple of buds, having a beer, and talking about an episode of one of your favorite shows.
So go to MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to The Greatest Generation.
Yeah, whatever you're using to listen to this, just have it find us and subscribe.
He was the primmest and properest butler in the land. Hobbs did be a very good sport and see to the arrangements of our fancy costume party.
Very good, sir.
But his twin brother? That's another story.
My name is Deckard Shaw, spiritualist, psychic medium, speaker for the the bobbies.
When these two switch places, turn of the century London will never be the same.
If you don't give me my dropsy medication, I'm gonna tell mummy.
Sorry, kid. Your butler's got a brand new bag.
From the makers of Bad Lorry Driver, Bad Municipal Government Worker, and Bad Film Producer comes the baddest movie of them all. In the past 2 weeks, you've killed my horse.
Well, off to the glue factory with ya.
Burgled my jewels.
If we're gonna pull off this job, you'll need to bottle like a real butler.
Boy, I've never bottled before.
and slept with my wife.
Oh, Hobbs, the fire's gone out in my bedchamber. Would you be a dear and give it a poke?
Very good, Mum.
Good God, man, what do you have to say for yourself?
Would that be all, sir?
Bad Butler, now playing in Lickford, Nether Wallop, Polling, Patching, Puddleton, Tollpuddle, Upper Bucklebury, Bitchfield, and Kent.
Beth, thank you so much for joining us this week on Story Break.
Will and the rest of the Story Boys, thank you so much for having me. It's been a rush, a true con that I weaseled my way in here. Thank you for having me.
It's a con the whole time.
Yeah.
It was a con. What a twist.
Yes.
She was bored. Now she's bored of us.
I texted Freddie and I was like, can I be on the show? And I was like, he'll never guess that this is a giant con.
She's like, what I got to do is I got to make a podcast called Dungeons and Daddies so they see me every week. And then that way I can work my way into Story Break.
Charm my way into Story Break. And then I'm not as charming as I was.
Beth, where can people find you?
They can find me at my house, but I'm not, not giving out that address. They can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Hey Beth May. That's Hey spelled H-E-Y, not like horse hay.
Uh-huh.
And then Beth May, B-E-T-H-M-A-Y.
Because like, you spell it that way.
Because I was born. I was born that way. And you can also find me every other week as Ron Stampler on on Dungeons and Daddies. Say holla to me on Instagram or Twitter, slip into the DMs. Don't send anything naughty, though.
All right. Will, did we get any fan art this week?
We did indeed. We got another terrific poster from Josh Raymond on Twitter. This time it was like a parody of the Social Network poster featuring one Logan Paul.
Ah, yes.
Says,
yes.
You don't get to 25 million subscribers without making a few clones.
That's so good.
Very apropos. So thank you very much. To Mr. Josh Raymond.
You can find us at RJ Storybreak on Twitter and on Facebook at bit.ly/storybreakfb. Thank you to MaximumFun.org for having us on their excellent podcast network. Go to MaximumFun.org and check it out. Check out some other shows. You got Ono Ross and Carrie, Mission to Zix, which I've binged all the way through and I'm now totally up to date on. Maybe one of my favorite podcasts of all time on the MaximumFun Network as well. So go ahead, check those out. That's going to do it for us this week. My name is Freddie Wong, and my recommendation for this week, we do recommendations now.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. my recommendation for this week, God, what have I been looking at? Old Man Jack. Which is Anthony Birch's comic book that's like comedy, the sequel to Big Trouble in Little China that he wrote with John Carpenter. I've been going through it. There are, three trades? I think the fourth trade is about to come out. So Old Man Jack by our DM Anthony Birch. Good comic. A lot of fun. Been having fun reading it.
I'm Will Campos, and I am recommending Rocco's Modern Afterlife, the new comic by Anthony Birch.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Anthony got a fucking sweet gig doing a Rocco's Modern Life comic, so go check it out. What Anthony Birch thing are you recommending?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm Matthew Arnold, and if you're ready for it, and it's the time of your life, I recommend becoming a father. It's beautiful.
God.
It's a wonderful thing. It really changes your life. And, if you got time for it, I think it's a good thing to do.
Okay, so I'm Beth May. Anthony Birch things to recommend. Ever heard of a web series called Hey Ash, What You I've been watching on Amazon Prime Absentia starring Santa Caddick.
Whoa.
And I think the second season's like just been popped off and like not in the US though, in Canada. So if you're a Canadian, check that out, eh? I'm sorry for my bad Canadian accent. Eh?
What is Absentia?
Here's the thing. It's like this it's this cool mystery where this woman who has been declared dead in absentia because she was kidnapped 6 years ago and conveniently has an FBI agent husband.
like you do.
She comes back, but they think that she might have committed the crime that she was, kidnapped for. The very crime of her kidnapping.
Wow.
All right.
And right. Santa Caddick's just excellent in it. She's just such a good, she conveys like agony and grief and like everything so well. So I'm just a big fan.
Santa Caddick.
Shout out to Santa Caddick. Loved Castle for like a few seasons. And
I was about to say, she looked familiar. I was like, where is she from? She's from Castle.
Yeah.
All right, folks, that's your homework for this week. We'll see you next time.
Find out what death in absentia means.
dominated by dude bro movie podcasts. A world where Casey Affleck has an Oscar and Angela Bassett does not. Only one podcast is brave enough to call bullshit. Who Shot Ya? With Ricky Carmona.
A lot of people don't know Porgs, Puerto Rican.
Alonzo Duralde.
I would eat Oakjaw.
April Wolf.
I want to interrupt and say yes. The fish man was real sexy.
Drea Clark.
I have a real soft spot for King Kong.
And women of color.
I was like, damn!
Right, Kugel got final cut.
Kugel got final cut!
I just felt like the film was so sour and so completely irrelevant to basically anything in life.
Who Shot Ya? Listen every Friday on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.